What's going on, people? It's your boy Kalichi back with another episode of the Ramblin' Mind Podcast. How are each and every single one of y'all doing today? I hope y'all are staying safe. I hope y'all are taking care of yourselves. I hope y'all are doing all the things you know you ought to do during these times, my friends. Excuse my voice. I'm recovering from a bit of a cold in which I lost my voice and now it's a little bit shot. It's a little raspy, it's a little graspy, it's a little grating, it's like, type of thing. So excuse my voice on this podcast. I hope y'all are staying safe. We're about to enter into the month of June. It is unlikely that you guys get a podcast from me next week due to me going out and celebrating my sister's wedding. It is going to be an excellent time. And congratulations to my sister, and I pray that the Lord would just bless the union between her and her husband, and that the Lord would just continually be at the center of it for the both of them, and that it will be not just a great celebratory day, but their lives, their marriage shall be always one of celebrations, even through the ups and the downs that they may go through, that they shall have reasons to continually celebrate and give glory to God. But anyway, so all of next week, y'all just minimal content as far as I'm concerned, as far as podcasts are concerned. I'm not even going to try to say I'm going to have a podcast next week, Tuesday. It's not going to happen. This weekend is all about having fun, enjoying myself, and I'll see y'all in June. I'll see y'all in the month of June. But this episode, I want to talk about something that I noticed recently from all the guests that I've been having in my Airbnb backstory. So what I've been doing is I use the spare bedroom in my house for Airbnb so I can make a little bit of extra money. Initially, I tried to rent out the room, but I couldn't find anyone to rent the room out to. Or rather, let me be specific. I couldn't find anyone that I accepted to rent the room to. So I decided I'm just going to do Airbnb and just have people coming in and out. I was hesitant in doing it because it's kind of scary having random strangers just coming through your house all the time. But so far, it's been pretty good. It's been pretty smooth. I haven't had any issues yet. I've had about 15 different guests come through my house. And so far, it's been pretty good. I've had a mix of overnight stays and extended stays of people just coming in because they had their plane is landing in Atlanta. They just need somewhere to stay for the night. And then we've also had people come in and stay for an extended period of time, whether they're seeing family or they're getting something done to their house or they're coming to visit Atlanta for one reason or the other. And it's been pretty good. I haven't had any issues and I pray that I don't have any issues. In fact, I'm gonna knock on some wood right now. I don't have any issues moving forward and it continues being a beautiful arrangement that I have going on here where I can make a little bit of extra cash in this house or through this house. But anyway, something interesting I noticed with my Airbnb room is the fact that no one locks their room door. The reason why I find this interesting is before I started Airbnb, I talked to a few people, but especially one person who's a close friend of mine, and she has been Airbnb-ing for a while. And I was talking to her about what are some of the things I need to do? What are some of the things I need to make sure I have in the room? What are some of the things I need to pay attention to? By the way, this is an important life lesson. You can run and jump headfirst into doing things, but always find people that you can learn one or two things from so you can learn from their mistakes so you don't have to make the exact same mistake. But she was telling me that, hey, one of the key things that you got to do about the room is make sure they have a keyed room, like they have a key to the room, because that's a big thing. So people can feel like they have the privacy and security that they want when they come to your house. And she was like, that's a big thing that she ran into when she first started doing Airbnb was she didn't have a keyed room and she got like negative reviews on that and he docked her a little bit. And it was like a tough thing for her initially, but she corrected it. And now she's a super host on Airbnb. So it's not really a big problem anymore for her. But she said that it's very important for you to make sure you have a locked room. So with that being such an important factor, or what people have said is an extremely important factor for them when they're selecting an Airbnb or when they're choosing an Airbnb, is having a security key or having some kind of key to the room. And then seeing almost 90% of my guests, only two of my guests have actually locked the door, and every other one of my guests not actually locked the door. It's such a It's such an interesting dichotomy to actually visualize. And now you might be asking, how do I know that most people don't actually lock the room door? Well, this office where I am recording this podcast right now and where I'm recording this podcast is across the hall from where the Airbnb room is. In other words, and I spend a good amount of time in this office. In other words, most of the time I'm going to this office, I'm coming into this office, I'm coming out of this office, I get to see if that room door is locked or not, if the key is removed or not. If the key is removed, it means that they locked the door. If the key is not removed, they probably didn't lock the door. And I can promise you that 9 times out of 10, actually 13 out of the 15 guests that I've had have not locked the room door. No, they haven't locked, they've chosen to just leave the key on the door. And I found that so interesting as to why people say this is an extremely important factor for having a secure room door, but yet most people actually don't use the key to the door, or most people don't actually lock the door. And there's something interesting dawned on me. And it was an interesting idea that dawned on me, and it was basically simply this. People don't necessarily want the thing. They want the freedom to be able to say yes or no to the thing. They want the freedom of choice. What it is for most people, what they want is the opportunity to either say yes or no, and not for somebody else to determine that on their behalf. There's a difference between when you're in prison, you don't get the choice to go outside. When you're at home, most of us choose not to go outside, but yet we don't want to go outside. All of a sudden, if you're put in prison and you're not allowed to go outside, it's like, oh my God, this is terrible. I want to go outside right now. We like the freedom of choice. We love the ability to be able to choose what we want rather than having to be told what we should want. It's like when I go to some restaurants and they predetermine that you must like our dish with everything that we add in here, or you order something when you're at a restaurant and you tell them, oh, I don't want this. I don't want this on my burger. I don't want this sauce on my burger. And they still put that sauce on your burger. Even if the burger tastes really, really good, even if the food tastes delicious, you don't care because you feel like your choice and your freedom has been violated. And so even if you enjoy it, you're always going to have a sour taste left in your mouth with that restaurant where you're like, man, the food was good, but I just don't like the way that they just didn't listen to what I told them to do. They overrode my choice. We don't like that. We don't like it when our choices are either neglected or we don't get a choice at all. We do not like that at all. Freedom of choice is literally the most important thing for 99% of us. And freedom of choice goes into everything. I don't think that for most of us, we want that luxury or fancy or any of those things, any of the luxury things that we see in life. I think most of the time, we want the choice to be able to say no to all those luxury items. So whether it be shoes, whether it be bags, whether it be purses, whether it be clothes, whether it be laptop, whether it be phones, whatever it is, I believe what most of us want is the option to be able to say no to that thing rather than the thing in and of itself. And this plays a role even in our finances. This is why I love this quote so much from Morgan Housel. He says, saving is a hedge against life's inevitable ability to surprise the hell out of you at the worst possible moment. Savings without a spending goal gives you option and flexibility, the ability to wait and the opportunity to pounce. It gives you time to think. It gives you a chance to change course on your own terms. This is literally the beautiful thing about saving money. It is the ability for you to decide what you want to do. It gives the choice. It lets you take the choice back in your hands. And I think of it in a few different ways when it comes to saving money and when it comes to our finances. On a small level, when you save money, it's just saving money for your emergency fund. It means that when something happens, you have the ability to fix it and it's not the end of the world. And so you have that choice of, oh man, this is an inconvenience and it sucks, but I can choose how I'm going to take care of this situation. When you have, like, let's say you just have $1,000 and you get a flat tire. You're like, ah, this sucks. But at the very least, I can choose how I'm going to react to this situation. On another level, it's having a really large emergency fund, a fully funded emergency fund of 6 months to a year or something along those lines, or 3 months to a year of a fully funded emergency fund. This allows you that if you lose your job or something like that, you get the opportunity to be like, you know what? I'm going to take a break. You can literally say to yourself, you know what? My family is going to be fine. I'm going to be okay. So I'm just going to take a break for a little bit and really determine what I want to do next. And really sit down and think about what is the career move that I want to make as of this point in time. What is the thing that I want to do with myself moving forward? You can actually take the time to think about that when you have a fully funded emergency fund. Or even to some degree where you can actually just say, you know what? I quit this job. You know what? I don't need it. I want to do something else. I have an emergency fund. I can take some time to determine what I want to actually do. And then on another level, it's your ability to walk away from anyone or any job or anything or any customer that is just annoying to you, where you have so much money that you're just like, you know what? I get to pick who I work with. I get to pick who I get to spend my time with. Who gets to invest in me is who I get to choose from this point on. And then there's a supreme level of I am comfortable with where I am, who I am, and what I am doing, and I don't need to prove anything to anybody. That's the ultimate level. Where you don't care about what society says, where you don't care about what your friends say, where you're not trying to peacock to show off to everyone else. Where you're not trying to demonstrate that, yo, I have something in my bag, I got some money, so you know what, you gotta respect me. No, you just are like, I really don't care, I'll do what I want, I enjoy life the way that I want to enjoy life, and everything else is pointless. And that's the ultimate level in finances. But you see, here's the ironic thing though. Most of us would believe that in order to be able to get to that level, we need a certain amount of wealth. Notice what I did. I started off talking about like the entry level part of like your money is like your small emergency fund, then a bigger emergency fund, and then it's like having FU money where you can do whatever. But yet the ultimate level is you deciding that, you know what, I don't need to show up or demonstrate to anybody, being the ultimate level. Which means money is not how you gain your freedom. We all already have that freedom of choice in our hands. We don't have to have a certain amount of money in the bank. We don't have to have a certain amount of money saved up or invested. We don't need any of that. Right here and now, where you are sitting, you currently have the freedom of choice to determine the way you want things to look. We can begin making choices right now of how we want our lives to look. We can begin choosing who we want to integrate into our lives and who we don't want to integrate into our lives. We can begin choosing who we choose to listen to and allow to influence us, and who does not get to have a say into a single second of our lives. We can begin choosing how we react to situations emotionally, or how we choose not to react to situations emotionally. We can choose the places that we choose to spend our time. Is it the places we actually want to be, or is it places we feel like we have to be? We can begin making these choices for ourselves, even though we may not have all the money in the world. We can choose to learn and to continue growing. The freedom of choice is already in your hands. But the question remains, or rather the question is, will we choose to live by design, or will we choose to live by default? Many of us regularly choose to live by default. And what does that look like? It's basically this. When you're driving on the interstate and somebody cuts you off and you go, now I'm mad. My whole day is ruined because that guy cut me off. And now he made me mad. That's living by default. Or you can make the decision of like, ah, that's so annoying. But you know what? It is what it is. And you move on and enjoy the rest of your day. Living by default is the natural way most of us live. It's something happened. I'm just going to swallow that thing without actually making the decision of like, what is the best way for me to move forward? It's allowing all the circumstances of everything to continually compound on our heads rather than us realizing, you know what? I have a choice to make in this matter, and I can choose how I decide to move forward from here. But the choice is on us of what we want to do. Are we going to live by design, or are we just going to live by default? Live by what everybody else says is the best thing for us? Or will we take the second? Will we take the time to quiet the noise in our minds and say, you know what? Today, I'm choosing the things I allow into my life. I'm choosing how I allow things to affect me. Because at the end of the day, whether it's emotionally or whatever, you still get a choice. It can be extremely annoying, but at the end of the day, we get a choice. We may not like to hear it. It may be an uncomfortable truth, but we all get a choice. Now, it may be the choice may suck, but it is still a choice that we all get. And so the ultimate demonstration of wealth, I've said it before, is freedom. The ability to choose what you want to do, how to do it, when you want to do it, and with whom you want to do it. But even in our daily lives, are we actually living wealthily right now? Where we're making choices about the things that we cherish versus the things we don't care about. The things that are important to us versus the things that are not important to us. Because if we live just by what everybody else says, I can promise you this. You will have a miserable existence. Because every day you wake up, you never once got to determine anything for yourself. So, will you begin today choosing the life that you want to live? Or will you just keep doing what everybody else does? Living by the default of what everybody else does. Carrying credit card debt. Never trying to pay off your student loans. Never trying to build wealth or fake building wealth by buying all these things that is just to show off rather than just doing things you actually enjoy to do. But anyway, that's all I got for y'all. My throat is really itching right now. So I'm going to end this podcast right there. I hope y'all learned one, maybe two things out of this entire thing. And if you did, share this podcast with one person that you love, one person that you hate, and one person you're just kind of like, about. And by that time, you'd have shared. Oh, gosh. You'd have shared it with every single person that you know. But it's me, your boy Kelechi. I'm gonna catch you up on the next one. Remember, generosity is always greater than greed. God bless each and every single one of y'all, and I'm out. Peace.